I'd like you to turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And the title of my message is Looking for Daily Gems. And what I'd like to do is talk to you something that's very, very basic, you know, pretty much to every, you know, believer. And this is really something that's really, you know, personal to me. And what I'm going to ask you today is to just accompany me as what I do, you know, on a daily basis, pretty much. And something that really you should be, that we should all be doing on a daily basis. It's not academic. It's not theoretical. So you won't find it in a textbook. Or maybe, I guess maybe you could find it in a textbook as a recipe, but it's something that's practical. And it's really important for every believer that should be doing in order to grow. Every morning, I start my day spending time with the Lord. That's what I do. Some people call it a quiet time. Some people call it, you know, devotions. And if you were to be in my house and you're up in the morning, it just depends on what, you know, what time. I don't get up at the same time every day, but generally it's around 5 a.m. And if you would follow me, you'd see I'd pass my kitchen and I would grab a cup of coffee and I would go to my desk and I would have my Bible. And I would, you know, prop it up and I'd have it right there. I had some lights on it and I would get myself comfortable so that I could, you know, spend time, you know, with the Lord. So that's one of my tools, obviously, you know, my Bible. As you can see, some folks over here, you see how it's colored. Okay, and I'm going to show you a little bit of what I do. I bring my Bible. I bring some pencils. I have some pencils over here. I have an eraser that I have. And these colors actually mean different things. This is just what I do, okay? I have a green pencil, and that's really for, you know, God's promises. The red ones is pretty much, I write down or I color anything that's something that I should be doing or emulating. The orange one is pretty much any facts that I find that I could, you know, count on and bank on. The pink, I use that for any questions. I could have a question on there. And the yellow is any of God's attributes. The blue is any commands. And the purple is any, you know, sins, things that I should avoid. So I pretty much have these down pat. Every day, if you see me, you'll see a lot of the eraser ink. Someone had given this to me, so I use this on a daily basis. One of the kids did. And I was like, that's exactly what I need. I need this eraser. They'd love to know I was going to need an eraser, but I thank God for that. And so my goal is, every morning is to spend time with the Lord. That's my goal. I know that I need him, and I'm seeking him, and I need him for my daily sustenance, for my daily feeding, and I really can't go without that. I know as every day, pretty much all of you, most of you, go and you have breakfast, you'll have lunch, and you'll have dinner. Have you ever tried going without breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a day? Some have. I'm not actually having breakfast now, and sometimes I maybe not lunch as well. I have very little, and it's hard. It's tough because you get these hunger pains. You feel like you're missing something, but you know, when I'm used to, you know, spending every day in God's Word and spending time with Him, I know that I can't, you know, miss a day. Now, if I'm sick and I can't really, you know, come and read His Word, then that's one thing. But if I generally won't just miss it because I want to. At least the Lord help me not to do something like that. So my goal is to come to Him for my daily spiritual sustenance and get my feeding, you know, from Him. And the way I do this is, and the way you should do this, but the way I do this is by coming and being in His presence. And what do I mean by that? It means that I have to come and I have to set aside some time. It's pretty basic, right? And that I'm just pretty much just being before Him, and I'm opening His Word, and I'm meditating on His Word. And what I try to do in the morning is I try to remove the clutter from my mind. There's a lot of things that cause my mind to wander. I know all of us have things that cause our minds to wander, and it gets worse as the day goes on. So that's why I try to do it in the morning. And my mind is, as the hymn, you know, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. You know, prone to leave the God I love. And if there's anything in my life that I know of at that particular point that's going to be an issue, in particular like sin, I confess it and say, Lord, you know, I just bring it to Him and say, I shouldn't be thinking that way. I shouldn't be feeling that way. You know, please, you know, I bring it before you. And he forgives me. He is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. And so I can approach him to come in his presence with an entirely clean slate. I mean, there's nothing between me and him. So now I'm ready, you know, for him. And I focus on, while I'm there, on being present while in his presence. And what do I mean by that, about focusing on being present? Have you ever spoken with someone or with someone, you're chatting with them and you're getting to a conversation and you see there's something a little off. They're talking to you and you're waiting for a reaction and then you kind of, you weren't listening, were you? Well, they were physically there, but their mind and their heart was not, they were not with you. And so what I try to do in the morning is I don't sit there and try to, I try to be present and try to be focused on the Lord. What am I doing? I want to spend time with him. And I want to, you know, put out all the day's events, the issues, and to focus on him and his word, to come with a prayerful heart, prayerful attitude and disposition. And my goal as I come through his word in the morning, everyone has a different schedule, but my goal is not to do quantity. I mean, I'm not sitting there going to go to the Bible and just read all the words and get through, I don't know, 10, 20 chapters, whatever you can get to. It's not for me. It's not about the quantity, even though it's great to read God's word. But when I'm in the morning, I don't want to be rushed, especially when I'm in front of God's word. I want to read it. I want to be able to spend as much time as I can. I'm not retired. I know some of you are retired. I'm sitting there, wow, wouldn't it be nice to be retired and just sit there and have access to it, you know, just that with no time limit, you know, so to speak. But my goal is to be looking, you know, for treasure. And in Psalm 109, verse 162, it says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And I'm looking for that treasure that he has in store for me for that day. And this treasure won't fill my bank account. I'm with Liberty Bank. Sorry, Liberty Bank. This won't fill my bank account. But this treasure, as I read his word, fills my spiritual bank account. It does for me, and I know it does for you when you come to the Lord like that in the morning. And what I do is, as I gather up, as I read his word, I tuck away his treasure, his gems in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. I'd like to think of when I'm spending time with the Lord in his word as finding gems. In his word. And it's like the Lord actually puts these gems, you know, just for me. And when I find them, you know what happens? I pounce on them. I do. And if I were to pass on and you were to find my Bible, you'll say, wow, look at all these places that Dan found, this treasure. So I'm going to keep it locked up. I'm keeping this treasure secret. I'm kidding. No, it's open to you. But I pounce on them. And it's almost as if God wants me to stop. And he wants me to pick up these little gems or big gems, whatever he has for me that day, to pick up and to ruminate, to think about them, to dwell upon them in my mind, and allow him to restore me and to replenish me. And the wonderful thing about the Lord is that he just doesn't have those gems for me, even though I think it's just for me, because this is what I'm doing. He has those for every believer, for all of his children. And he reveals those gems and those truths, but he does it specifically when you spend time in his word. And he reveals them specifically for you. Because all of us are in different parts of God's word, right? At any time of day, different sections. I think Wendy said she was in Leviticus and stuff. And there's even gems in Leviticus. You got to look for them. You got to find them. You got to keep, you know, digging. And, you know, if you don't put any effort in, the gems are just not going to fall on you. I'm sorry. If you don't put any effort, if you don't purpose in your heart that you want to spend time with the Lord, well, guess what? You're not going to find any gems, you know. And so you need to spend some time. You need to make an effort. And there's a purpose that you would need to do in and of yourself. Now, there are over 200 different varieties of gemstones. We know some of the major ones, you know, diamonds and, you know, rubies, you know, et cetera. And what do we do with them in general? Do I take these gems and I say, you know what? Let me just put it in my pocket over here. Tuck it away. Let me put it in a drawer. Maybe look at it every now and then. If you're a young lady that has recently been given a ring, you usually want to wear it, right? And usually you would show it to others and you'd want to look at it and you look at the different facets. You want to enjoy it. You want to appreciate it. You know, and bottom line, what you're actually doing, because gems are so precious, is that you are valuing their beauty, right? You are. And this is what I want to do when I come to God's Word. I want to value the preciousness and the beauty, and the gems are all about, you know, it gives you different facets, and I'm going to talk about it a little more. What it does is it's actually pointing to the one, to our Creator, to the Lord. And what I'm doing is I'm actually, as I'm enjoying and musing and dwelling on His gems, that I'm actually valuing His beauty and valuing Him in my heart. I'm honoring Him. I'm worshiping Him. So I come as an archaeologist looking for these gems that He has for me. And when I find them, I scoop down. I don't tell anyone that I found these little gems other than me. And I enjoy them. Sometimes Wendy's still sleeping and I'm still, okay, I'm going to hide this gem just for me. I'm going to enjoy it. And I praise Him for it. So you ask me, so you may ask, you know, Dan, well, what gems do you look at? Are there certain gems you're looking for? Are there any specific gems? Well, the answer is simply any gem that catches the eye of my heart. And what I mean by that is that we are all in different spiritual levels, different phases of our life, different phases of our walk with the Lord. So He's going to have a different gem for you. So what catches you in God's Word is going to be different than what catches me. Because He's been working on me differently. He's working on all of us, but He's working on all of us differently. And so the beauty is that the Lord does have those gems for you and for me. So don't sit there and say, oh, well, He doesn't have any gems for me. I'm just getting emeralds. I'm not pulling up any diamonds. Well, that's okay. Maybe you need that emerald, you know, for that. That's what God has for you. So as I began to read His Word and enjoying the gems, I usually find myself talking to the Lord. And I usually, you know, praise Him when I'm focusing on certain specific gems. I thank Him, for example, for the green gems, that those are His promises or His characters that are in yellow or gold. And I mark the verse where that gem is. And sometimes I'll remember other gems in other parts of God's Word. And I relate them and I begin to think about it. So what I wanted to do was just to give you an idea of just what I do in the morning. So with the Psalm 23, I'm just going to read the first few verses. And so it's going to be just... just bear with me, that is, as if you're with me and I'm sitting in front of my, you know, Bible reading God's Word. So this is me. The Lord is my shepherd. And I say, Father, I'm so thankful that You are my shepherd. I'm so thankful that as my shepherd that you feed me, You guide me, You're with me, You protect me. I'm so thankful, Lord, that You are my shepherd. Just, you know, all mine. I'm so thankful that You would even choose to be my shepherd. Father, I'm so thankful that it says, I shall not want. Lord, I'm so thankful that I don't lack anything, that You are my sustenance, that You're all that I need. I don't need any more, Lord. I'm so thankful for this gem that I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Lord, I just want to thank You for making me. I don't know how You do it, but You make me to lie down. Sometimes I don't want to lie down, Lord, but You make me to lie down. And it's not just, you know, pastures that are wasted or desert land. You make me to lie down, Lord, in green pastures and lush pastures, pastures that are full of life. And You bring me a place that I could feed. And Father, I thank You so much for that. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Father, I'm so thankful that You are just so great and leading me. Lord, You know that I wander, I stray, You know me, but I'm so thankful, Lord, that you lead me beside these still waters. And Father, I'm so glad that waves may come and things get in my life get turbulent, but these waters that you lead me to are just still. They're comforting. They're placid. And then the last verse, I'm just going to read the first part. It says, he restoreth my soul. And I just think, Lord, I'm so thankful that you restore me, that you just well up my heart with the nourishment only you can do. So the reason why I was doing this, just to give you an idea of like what I do when I go through his word, I'm really going through his word and I'm actually going over it in my mind and I'm going over and over. I do like play, rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind. And I'm actually conversing with the Lord. That's what I'm doing. I'm talking with them and I'm thanking them and I'm praising them. And sometimes I do it not audible, but sometimes I do it just in my heart and the Lord knows it. And I begin to well up. And most of you know what I mean by getting well up. It's because it's almost like it's my heart is becoming overflowed. And it's almost like if the Lord himself is encouraging me and he's teaching me and he's leading me beside these still waters and he's giving me a glimpse of himself. So I read, I look in his word, I ruminate. And I praise him and I thank him for all of these verses. And what it does is, for me at least, it's like a snowball effect. I start to praise him. I start to thank him. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it just keeps going. And before you know it, my heart is just full of joy. It's all welled up. And I start to feel, he says he restoreth my soul, like a restoration. You know, there's some folks that, restore. Well, restoration is a process of returning something back to its former condition or its original state. And there's people that we know that restore old cars. I won't say who, but there's folks that restore cars. Some people that restore furnitures. You know, there's other things that you restore. You want to bring it back to an original, place, like a whole place. And so when you come before the Lord in your time with him, and you spend time with them, you know what happens? He actually restores you. He restores me. And he restores your place, restores your soul back to the place where it's like you're tranquil and you're like in still waters, at least. And so, and what he does for me is that he fills my empty tank, with himself, and he waters my soul. And this restoration happens or takes place as you spend time with him and his word. So what I did was I just wrote down four different items of, why I spend time with the Lord. And then I'm going to go through some gems that I've been going through in Isaiah. So if I get into the Psalms, I just never get out of them. There's just so many wonderful Psalms and so many wonderful promises and so many wonderful things to use. I get stuck in there and it's like I'm overcome and I can't get out of it. But I did. I finally got out of Psalms and now I'm in Isaiah. So I found some more gems in there. So it's kind of like, I don't want to get it out of Isaiah now. But I'm going to read you some things of why I spend time with the Lord. And I'm going to go through some verses so I can show you some of the gems that I found. Okay. But you could probably start turning to Isaiah if you wanted right now to 48. And I'll be talking to that in a few minutes. So why do I spend time with the Lord? Well, first of all, to physically spend time with him, by being in his presence. I'm looking to him for nourishment, and obviously for the purpose so that I can grow. I'm looking and being ready for these gems that he has for me. So when you're reading his word, be awake, be attentive, because he has them for you. You know what I mean? Because you look at something, you go, ooh. And all of a sudden your heart begins to well up. I spend time with them because I want to allow the Lord to restore my soul. And we already talked about why that is. I spend time with the Lord in the morning to get to know him more perfectly or better. I want to learn about his attributes. I want to learn what he's like. I want to learn what he loves. I want to learn what he delights in. I want to know what he expects of me. I want to learn, how to respond, to situations. I want to learn how to pray. And basically, and the last item is to, I come to the Lord in the morning is so I can learn, you know, how to please him. If I find any verse that says, you know, this is what pleases him or he delights in, that's like for me, I'm like, ooh. And I jump on that and I camp out and I hang there for a while and I just start enjoying his word because I want to know what pleases him. I want to know what he delights in. And like, for example, like he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I know the Lord wants us to keep his word. That's how he measures our love for him. If we're being obedient to him, that's how we do it. So let's turn to Isaiah. And what I'm going to conclude with is just going to go through some verses. So you have to bear with me. So we're going to go through quite a few of them. So just look at some of these gems. So Isaiah 48:17. And let me just get here for a second. So I'm not going to go through all the verses because there are quite a few of them, but I'm just going to go through the part that really, you know, jumped out at me. So Isaiah 48:17, towards the end of the verse, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And I began to say, Father, just, you know, thank you so much that you lead me and that you're teaching me the way that I should go, because I don't know which way I should go, right? So I need him to show me which way to go. Turn to Isaiah 48:21, not further down. I love this one. It says, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. When I was reading that, I was like, wow, Lord, what a gem that through the desert, and I know he was talking to the children of Israel there, but he led them through the desert. Lord, can't you do that for me? Of course he can. I just, you know, praise him for that, how he miraculously did that. Isaiah 49:10, I'll read it. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For, and this is the part, the gem that I was looking at. He that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I was just thinking and musing about he that hath mercy on them. And I began to think about, Lord, I'm so thankful for your mercy, you know, towards me. And what I do is I personalize these. I know this is for Israel, but I get that way because I take it for me because I know God is like that because he's talking about his character. Isaiah 49:13 at the end of the verse, it says, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. You know, God knows when you are afflicted. He knows when you're having troubles. I don't know when you're having troubles, but a lot of people don't know. Only you know. But, you know, God knows. And it says, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And so when I read that and I say, Lord, I'm so thankful for your mercy. You know when I'm afflicted. You know when my heart is heavy, and you even have mercy upon me. Isaiah 51:12, it says, I am he that comforteth you. And, you know, and when I read this, I was like, you know, a lot of times we try to find comfort in things, in friends, and, you know, whatever, your job, your bank account, your new car. It doesn't really matter. You can put all kinds of things in there. But only he's the one that's able to really fully comfort me. Isaiah 54:8, towards the end of the verse, it says, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. And when I look at, when I thought of that word, you know, kindness, you know, God is, he is kind. He's loving kind, in fact. And that's one of his attributes. And he says, I will have mercy on thee. Isaiah 54:10, it says, in the middle, it says, but my kindness shall not depart from me, from thee. And I take that as a promise, you know. I know, again, if it's for the children of Israel, but I take that for me, that his kindness will not depart from me. Isaiah 55:7, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. Let him return unto the Lord. I was think of of Jonah, you know, with the people of Nineveh, that they were sitting there and they had a heart that was against them, you know, and so he had them go over there to pretty much to cast judgment upon them to turn around. And you know what they did? They turned. They returned. And you know what he did? God had mercy upon them. Of course, you know, Jonah wasn't happy because he knew that God abundantly pardons. You would think he would have been happy that was happening. So, and I began to think of my own life, you know, because, you know, no one's perfect, right? I mean, none of us are. You know, we fail. But we can turn. We could change things up. We can say, Lord, you know, forgive me. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong. And he says he will have mercy upon him, and I take that for me. And he will abundantly pardon me. And I'm so thankful for that. What a pardoning God we have. Isaiah 56:8. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcast of Israel. And I said to myself, wow, he's gathering outcasts, the people that no one wants. I mean, why come this is not like, you know, the top, the niche, the topper echelons of society? Nope. God's not looking for, if you're high-ranking general or whatever, God's not looking for the generals. He's not looking for those that are, you know, the top-notch of society. It's the outcasts. And I'm just so thankful because it's totally contrary to the thinking of man. Isaiah 57:15 is a wonderful one. I won't read that one, but it is a wonderful one that all of us know that. But I'm going to go to some of the lesser-known gems. Isaiah 58:9, another gem. It says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. I was like, wow. I could sit there and I could call upon the Lord. I could cry unto him. We know there's a lot of faces in Psalms, and you cry unto him and he answers. And I was like, Lord, thank you so much that you answer when I call, that you're listening. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee sometimes. Does it say that? The Lord will guide thee what? Isn't that amazing? Well, Lord, isn't there a stop somewhere? Maybe you get tired. Maybe you don't want to do this all the time. You know, I'm really, you know, pain. It says, nope. He's going to guide me continually. But I still don't know where to go, Lord. Well, guess what? I'm going to guide you. But I don't know what's happening with my health problem. I don't know what's going to happen with my job or my finances. The Lord says, I know. I will guide thee continually. And look at the next part. And what is he going to do? He's going to satisfy thy soul in drought. He's not saying he's satisfying you after you had a big meal or after you had plenty of stuff in the refrigerator. He's satisfying thy soul when you are basically have nothing. You have no water. You're in drought. And when I look at that, I'm like, what a gem. Look at that. He's satisfying my soul in drought. And this is where I begin to well up. So don't get me started because we'll be here for a while. And make fat thy bones. Now, some people are on a diet and have everything else. But this fat is just, you know, he fills your life with just, you know, your bones that they're healthy. And thou shalt be like a what? When I read that watered garden, I sit there and I say to myself, wow. Just to be, sit there, just a garden. Now, I'm not a gardener. I know folks that are gardeners, you know, are, you know, much can appreciate this more than I can. But I know that when there's no water, and I know a garden needs water. And I guess if I was in the garden, I would be so happy to be watered if I didn't have any water. And I shall be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters maybe fail. No. What does it say? Whose waters what? Fail not. Those waters will never end. They'll just continue to pour it upon you. So so I won't go through all the other, but I do have a lot more, but I see my time is coming to a conclusion here. But what I wanted to do was just to simply, just to encourage you, if you're a believer, I encourage you to spend time with God's Word. Let the Lord water you every day. Set aside a time, open his word, spend time, you know, before him in his presence. And I know for me, it's wonderful. It's like a very wonderful time, at least for me in the morning. And it just really sets me up for just a blessed day.